You see, today, the challenge of what happens when our human voices prevail. I think this is the turning point in the text as we hear about the injustices that Jesus has to suffer, the flogging, the beating, the verbal abuse. Pilate still calls out for him to be released. He finds no case against him. But the cries for crucifixion are allowed to stand. Luke tells us these are the voices that prevail. So we are reminded that the cross is a result of our human perspectives prevailing. Our own demands for injustice, oppression, death, denial, bitterness, and betrayal, these are what we bring with us. And of course, it's not just the religious leaders who have voices that are problematic today, though of course those are the loudest and the worst. Even the disciples show us some voices that we aren't to have in this story. And Jesus tells them clearly that one of them will betray him. We hear that they all say, "Not me, not I. Can it be me?" And I think it's interesting that Luke includes the story of the greatest directly following this. And I think we can imagine well what that conversation could have looked like in this scenario, that in the desire to clear their own names, they began to position themselves higher and higher. "No, I can't be the traitor. I would never betray Jesus. In fact, I'm the greatest. I'm the best disciple that he has. I'm the most faithful one." Of course, this shows us two tendencies we have. We want to minimize any stance that would be uttered against us, whether it's true or not, and whether or not we think it is true, we will say, "No, if there's anybody saying something bad about me, I must respond. I must retaliate in some way and say, no, I'm not bad. I don't do bad things. I'm not a bad person." And then, of course, we're likely to go the other route as well. "I'm not just not a bad person. I'm a great person. I'm the greatest person. I'm better than the people around me. I deserve more. They should be following me. They should be listening to me." And so these are our human perspectives that we know Jesus tells us we shouldn't have. But then, of course, there's Peter today, who also shows us a perspective that we often have, which is our waffling, our oscillating. We have it within the service as a whole today, that these voices that cry out, "Hosanna," and "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," these same voices maybe were the ones crying out to crucify him just a few days later. Peter does the same thing in the same evening. "Oh Lord, I would never deny you. I'd go to prison and to death before I did." And then he denies him three times. These are our voices, brothers and sisters. We too say things, make promises, make commitments, and then we turn around and do something different. Then we turn around and say something different, even. We struggle with these human perspectives. We see some in our story today whose voices are not heard. These weeping women who want to say, "This is wrong, this is unjust," are not heeded. No one takes note, except for Jesus, that these women weep. Same thing for Pilate, whose voice that says he finds no case against him, that there is no reason to condemn Jesus to death, is not heeded. And failing to stand his own ground and to make this voice heard and to use the power and authority entrusted to him to do so, he allows these other voices to prevail. Which, of course, are these voices that have been hounding Jesus throughout the story. These are the voices that come out to meet him at the Mount of Olives. These are the voices present at that trial as they demand his death. These are the voices that follow him to Pilate's and demand crucifixion. These are the voices that follow to Herod's and denounce and deride him before Herod as well. These are the voices that stand around the cross, that mock him. He even hears it from another on the cross too, who derides him. "Save yourself and us." still the human perspective that says, well, my will and my desire is what should happen. And we know these are not the perspectives we are to have, and yet they are those perspectives we often find ourselves following. We discover that this is what it looks like to reject this word of God, to close our ears and not listen to what God would say to us. This is what it looks like to reject the mind of Christ. We go down these other avenues that will lead to suffering and death. But thankfully, it is not just our voices on display today. No, we see what God would say to us in Christ. We see Jesus' words throughout this journey. And we see the ways in which God would give God's own self over for us. Jesus' words are sprinkled throughout our narrative, and they don't ever seem to hold a whole lot of weight with those who hear them. And yet, we know these are where we should focus. These are the words we should pay attention to. Jesus' words are revealing to us the tongues of a teacher that would sustain the weary with a word. Jesus' words reveal to us the very mind of Christ. And these are the words that stand in God's kingdom, not our clamors for death and destruction. No, it is what Jesus has to say that prevails. Jesus tells us it is not about being great and lording ourselves over others. Life is about serving one another. Indeed, this is what Jesus does. In his final moments, he is serving the disciples. I will not eat of this again. I will not drink of the fruit of the vine again. But this is given for you. I want you to be nourished and fed, Jesus says. I want to serve you. Jesus never once denies his identity. Does you say that I am the Son of Man? You say that I am the King of the Jews. I cannot denounce this. I am the Son of Man. I am the King of the Jews. You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the Father. These are the things that will happen. And you can be as mad and upset and scared about this as you want, but this is the truth. Jesus speaks words of forgiveness from the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Jesus' tongue is a teacher here, still seeking to sustain these ones gathered around the cross who have demanded his death. And he knows their souls are weary from being bound by sin and death. He knows they do not understand what is happening. And he pleads for forgiveness. Jesus' other words of grace from the cross come to the only human we hear who has a perspective that does not seek his own will. Indeed, he says, my perspective was wrong. I am condemned justly for what I have done. I deserve to die, and I know it. My only hope is to cast myself before you, Jesus, as one dying man to another. To say, you are entering into your kingdom. I need you to remember me. Such are the words we could say as well. We know what we would deserve, and yet we cast ourselves upon Jesus. And we could hear Jesus' gracious response to this. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. The last thing Jesus says in our text is, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. I entrust myself to you completely and totally. All of these are the words we should be uttering ourselves. Brothers and sisters, we too should be speaking words of service, of caring for those around us, to come to serve and not be served. We too should be naming and claiming our own identity, never giving it up an inch. That we are beloved children of God. We too should be proclaiming words of forgiveness for those who have wronged us, recognizing that they do not know what they do as they are bound by these forces of sin and death. We too, if we were to have the mind of Christ, would speak words of grace to those who are repentant, to those who recognize their need for God. We could say clearly, God loves you and has worked to offer you life. And yes, we too are to commend ourselves, our spirit, our whole beings over to God, just as Jesus does. But of course, it is difficult for us to speak, think, and act in these ways. It does not come naturally to us. But we must have our ears opened. We must allow this mind to enter in. This is what I think is happening today in this meal that we share. We can have our mouths, our minds, our hearts reshaped, reformed, as we encounter the very body and blood of Christ. Here Jesus continues to serve us and says, "Catch a glimpse of my kingdom. I am eating and drinking here. Join me." Here we have Christ serving us once more. "This is my body, this is my blood given and shed for you." Here we have the same words of grace and forgiveness extended to sinners who are repentant. As we hear, this blood signifies the forgiveness of our sins. This is the new covenant. And as we receive this gift, we know that our hearts, our minds, our words, our actions are shaped anew, that we might celebrate and share the love of God, that we might point not to our own perspective, but to God's perspective, that we can point to the level of love God would have for us that is revealed at the cross and in this meal. And as our hearts, our minds are changed, as our lips and our mouths are reshaped to form these words that we need to speak, the very first thing out of our lips, having received this grace from God that remembers us, we can only say, "Thanks be to God." Amen.